And good Friday morning, last Friday in December and the last Friday of 2018, December 28th, over the back fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. Here we are, Pastor, another Friday morning. Christmas is over. New Year's is on the horizon. 2019, I remember when we flipped over to 2000, and the last 19 years now have blown right by.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that something?
You know, all the Y2K stuff that was out there, and it was just like, what in the world is going on? It just flew by. And what I don't like about that, Scott, is that I'm getting older. And if the next few years go by as that has, I may not be able to sit across from you and talk here.
Well, me right along with you. March of time just keeps going on. You know, it's an interesting week because I think that this is one of those weeks where a lot of people are still off work. Some have went back. But a lot of people are recounting the year that was. And I always like to see that because, honestly, a year is a long time. Even though we say they fly by, I'll be watching one of these Recount the Year shows. And I'll say, oh, I totally forgot that happened because it happened so long ago in the year. 2018 was very interesting.
Just kind of one thing interesting, and I've kind of scratched my head on this one a little bit, and then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, of my own situation and others, you know, this last year we have seen some real economic growth in the country. Of course, there's areas that have struggled. There always will be, but we've seen some real economic growth, and people feel that the consumer confidence is high. I think the spending for Christmas was up across the board really well this year. And I got to tell you, one thing I noticed is driving through Marion, Ohio, a week before Christmas, that all the parking lots were full of cars, and I thought, what is going on here? Usually, it's the last few days the stores are crowded. But one thing I kind of noticed, and noticed it just this morning, is that people are beginning to take down their Christmas decorations. Now, what really shocked me about this is my wife, I walked through the house this morning, my wife's taking Christmas cards down from their hanging place, and I thought to myself, she's never done this before. She's the Christmas queen. I mean, this stuff stays up. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about it. I thought, you know, why would that be? And I think that a lot of it this year is with people is there's a little bit of anticipation of going into the new year. I think people have a little better excitement about going into a new year. And what am I going to do in 2019? And between Christmas and New Year, they're kind of ready to get ramped up and going on with it. I know I am.
Well, you know something interesting that I observed this past week being Christmas week is we did have an extra long Christmas season. Thanksgiving was November 22nd. So yes. We had 8 days in November, yes. And then 25 days in December. And I did really notice an exhaustion in people on the 26th. It really seemed like, oh, man, this has been going on a while. I spent the weekend in Lima, which I had not been to Lima for quite a while. And Lima's a great town. The downtown in Lima is tremendous, which is where I was. And I thought, well, maybe it's just a Marion thing. Maybe we're just tired here, but they're tired in Lima. When it got to the 22nd, 23rd, I just think people were exhausted because Christmas can be exhausting. You have to plan,
I know. I was as much as I love it, I was kind of exhausted. I know Christmas Eve I went out with my grandson Eli. We went to Turning Point and took a lot of things we had collected, and we did a pajama drive. We had a pancake and breakfast night at the church where people came in and got a meal, and they were to bring pajamas. So we took those to Turning Point. By the way, while I'm on here, out there, anybody that is familiar with Turning Point, they could use some adult and teenager-sized pajama sets. Just want to let you know out there, that's something they could use. But anyway, I know that just yesterday we gave away another food box to people, and we were so busy putting together gifts and food and things right up through Christmas Eve. And then we had this wonderful Christmas Eve service, and I got to tell you about that. Shame on you, Terry, for not being there. You told me you would. Anyway, we were packed, and we had people from all over the community. That was what was the real blessing to me about it. there was, it wasn't just our church, it wasn't just even our denomination, it was people coming from different denominations that came, that wanted to be together and wanted to be there. And we had a wonderful candlelight service and did something new this year that was really neat. We had a, actually my daughter Holly did a Christmas story for children up on the stage, sat down on the floor with them and gave all the little kids a battery-operated candle and sat there and told a Christmas story in a cartoon narrative. And it was just wonderful. And but those kind of things, yes, you get tired, but they're wonderful at the same time. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. I mean, I had a Christmas Eve celebration at my house. My family's always done this. We've done it at different residences, but it ended up the last few years it's been at mine. And this year it actually went on longer than it's ever gone on before. It was 2 a.m. before everybody finally shuffled out. And I thought, my goodness, this has been, I don't think it's ever went that long. But you know, when it comes to the new year, what I am excited about this year, I always run out of time at the end of the show, so I'm going to make sure I do it right here. Pastor Steve has another show on this station, which will air a special repeat this Tuesday because it's New Year's Day, but we'll be back the following Tuesday on January the 8th. I believe that's the following Tuesday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., the Pastor Spot, which he does with Terry Tackett, which is a great show. And that replays every Sunday morning, 8:10 to 9, and then on Wednesdays, 3:10 to 4. Now, this show replays on Tuesdays, right after the Pastor Spot, 6:10 to 7, and then also on Sunday, 9:10 to 10 a.m. But what I'm excited about for the new year is the programming. We have not made any announcements as far as the programming we're adding. None of it's leaving. All the program that's on will stay on. So that's a good thing because I think we have a really good slate of programming right now. But all the new programming we will be adding after the first of the year, I think, is going to be tremendous.
I think that's wonderful. You know, with me, we all have our reasons for wanting to do programming, whether you're somebody that likes variety, whether you're somebody that likes sports, politics. I don't want to do politics. Anyway, but in my purpose, of course, is I am a pastor, and my purpose, of course, is I want to spread the gospel to people, and I want people to have better lives. And I wish people could understand that sometimes, that many times when you're talking about things we can do to change our lives and make our lives the way they were meant to be, you're not doing it to tweet your own horn, or blow your horn, or however you want to put it, or to show your knowledge or whatever. You know, hopefully if you're doing it, you're doing it because you truly do care about people, and you want people to come out of the despair sometimes in where they are, and the depression, and all those things that don't have meaning, and to give them meaning. And to be honest with you guys, that's why I'm on this show. I'm not on this show to add members to our church, which would be wonderful, because the more people that come, the more that I feel they hear the truth, and their lives get better. It's not a financial issue with more people come, the more money. I don't like that thought process played out in the church. I've seen it, and I think it's ugly. And I don't think that it's something that's even biblical. I understand that, of course, we do have our duty to support, give back to God of what He's given us. But what I'm talking about is the purpose behind it. And what I'd like to see happen this year is I'd like to see in as far as the show that this show and as far as the Tuesday show that I'm involved with, for more people to decide to listen, to get some substance about what can I do to better my life. And we've had some neat things on. We had another show last which one did we have my sister on again? Was that Friday or last Friday?
Last Tuesday,
yes. That's right, because she wouldn't even be out of bed when this one comes on. But last Tuesday, we had her on again from California. By the way, there was a CNN interview on that, if you want to look those up, where they interviewed my great-nephew Eli about how his Christmas is. And he wasn't very talkative, but he's back in school and he's happier. And it is tough out there for those people, still very tough out there. You know, one thing that Laura shared that's kind of rough out there, Scott, is that the people that own rentals within X amount of miles of that fire area of the destruction area are actually evicting tenants and selling property because the property's values have quadrupled because there's no properties for anyone to live in. So more and more people, as collateral damage from the fire and through profit taking, so to speak, if you want to call it that, are losing their homes and losing places to live. So to find a place to even rent out there is unbelievable. And the local governments aren't making it as easy as they could either. I mean, they're honestly, think about it. They've been hit pretty hard, too, because all that tax revenue coming in from people working and whatnot and property, you know, is going to shrink rather rapidly going into 2019.
Well, it's interesting. And I listened to that show again. I believe it was Christmas Day. I caught the repeat of it. And those are things you would not know if you did not listen to this station. They're very detailed from a person who's been through it, who's involved in it. And that's one thing that, and you touched on it there, the programming, at least here, you know, people say what they want to say on the air. I mean, no, I cannot think of any instance where I ever went to somebody and said, well, you can't say that. Which I think as long as you are within the FCC guidelines, you know, do what you want. But I do hope that there is some uplift in the programming we do, because I think sometimes things are very negative, but they're negative from all aspects. I think sometimes we're very negative on the city, just people personally. Mm-hmm. Not the radio station, just people walking around are kind of downtrodden, and they say, you know, this we got to get out of here and do this. That's a weird attitude. I always think things can get better. And one thing of high interest to me as we approach 5 years being on the air is that I'm glad your show, both shows, continue, because one of the things that early on was very important, dating back to the first month we were on the air, is to have some kind of spiritual programming. And we always have. But, you know, interestingly enough, they've all been somewhat different denominations. But I think you have to have that when you're on the air, because it's an important part of life. You know,
yes, it is.
The statistic of 33% of people think Christmas is cultural, that says something. That means 67% feel it's religious. So you have to have spiritual programming, because it is uplifting, and these are issues that need to be talked about, and there are people who can't get out anymore, and terrestrial radio is still free.
It is, and you know, one thing that I feel is important to try to, from my aspect, get people to understand is that I come from a perspective of not being a religion, but being a relationship. It was interesting. I was listening to an old show that you did on the way in, and we're talking about the Pope and some decisions he had made and whatnot. And you had made the comment, which was factual and correct, that you know, the Catholic Church has the Pope as a figurehead, and that's a good thing because they have a central figure to look at. And then even mentioned that he had gone over and opened the door for us to do some negotiating in Cuba, I believe it was the time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. And how that's neat that he can do that. And I was thinking about that as I drove in. And that is true. But it's real interesting. And then someone came on and said, well, you know, the other person, Mr. Cannon,
yeah,
said that, you know, the churches today are an offshoot of the Catholic Church. And I wanted to give a real quick perspective on that because it's interesting. One is that the Catholic Church was actually an offshoot of the biblical church back in the first century, first and second century. They morphed it into Roman Catholicism because they brought in Roman philosophy and combined it with Christianity, and they made that. But it was there for thousands, you know, long, long, long time. Hundreds and even thousands of years. But then, you know, well, 1,000 plus anyway. And then Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest, stood up and said, uh-uh. You know, I'm reading the Word, and this isn't what it's saying, folks. You know, the priesthood belongs to the believer, and each individual has a priesthood and a relationship. And that's where the divide happened. And the more that word got out and that message got out, you know, then you had the separation there. So I wouldn't really say it was an offshoot, but it was a reawakening. And then at the same time, we do have a figurehead. Our figurehead is Jesus Christ. So rather than going to the Pope, we go directly to Christ. And how do you go to a figurehead that's not physically in front of you? Well, we have the Word of God, which is right in front of us, which is His Word, and that's where we get His Word. And then finally, we talked about, you know, it's nice to have the liaison of the Pope going and doing what he does. But in the Christian church, we have those like Billy Graham, like his son Franklin Graham, others that have made unbelievable strides in even dealing with foreign governments and getting in and getting built in relationship building. In Franklin Graham had an unbelievable ministry to North Korea, which I think I commend him. I don't have the guts to go to North Korea.
Well, you know, this to me is the big picture of life, because that show, which I believe was from 2015, so a few years ago, mm-hmm. the people forget that the Pope Francis was an envoy to Cuba.
Yes.
And I think about North Korea, and I do think about Dennis Rodman, who went there. I mean, and because Kim Jong Il likes basketball, and they watch it over there. Now, this is moving toward a bigger point. I don't understand why we cannot separate. Okay, I don't like that this person does this. Okay, that's okay. But when they do something good, why can't we allow that? And then, you know, why can't we hold two thoughts? That's what I think we've lost the ability to do. I guess that's what I'm saying. If you like somebody, anything they do wrong is right. But that's not life. I mean, that's not even your friends in life. You can
never. No, it's not. And you know, I kind of understand politics. It's always been an interest of mine from a child. And I can look at both political parties and the people in it and see things that's not I wouldn't have a friend that did that. I wouldn't hang out with this person. But at the same time, I can also realize when something's done good and commend them for going through and doing what they've done, no matter what party they're in. You know, if I feel it as an American that it's right that we need to do a particular thing, like for instance, you know. Just recently, that you know, the president decided to pull troops out of Syria. Now, the point is with that, whether or not you like the guy or can't stand the guy, if you have an honest, true position on whether they should or should not pull troops out of Syria, if you can't stand the guy and you thought that our troops shouldn't be there and should cut home, applaud the fact that he was calling them home, and that's kind of what you're getting at. You know, hold two thoughts. You know, you can't just condemn someone because you don't – everything they do because you don't like it.
Well, you know, this started – it's a funny thing because I've thought a lot about this, because even when I started in radio, things were not so politically charged. You always did politics because it's part of life.
Well, they are now.
Oh, you can't do anything. It's very difficult. But – saying all that to say this is, when I started, yes, you talked about politics. It's part of daily life. But at that point, more people were interested in Hollywood. So most of your criticism or most of your backslapping came from Hollywood. And Hollywood, you could hold two thoughts in your mind, because I guess people didn't see it as an either or, because there were a lot of shades of gray in Hollywood. So even if somebody in Hollywood said something that was disagreeable, maybe you still liked what they did, so
right,
you could hold those two thoughts in their head, in your head. But for some reason with politicians, you can't do that. I don't understand that. It's very interesting this past week, and people know the issue, and not to get into politics, but you know, Governor Kasich did something that was very not the Governor Kasich that got elected 8 years ago would have done.
Right.
Yeah. So I saw people who voted for Kasich, who liked Kasich, condemn him. And then I saw people who didn't vote for Kasich and didn't like anything he was doing applaud him. And I thought, no, however you come down on that issue, that is what used to happen. You used to be able to hold two thoughts.
That's a good response. Yeah. Yeah. And it is a good, because there are going to be people, absolutely. And, you know, it's... It's kind of, I've shared this before, and I can't remember. I get these two shows confused between Tuesday and Friday. But I've shared this, that there are two men in our church who have since gone home to be in heaven, and in the last year, a matter of fact, year and a half. One of them's name, and I'll tell you who he was, he wouldn't mind, and I'll tell you both of them were. One of them was Mike Tomaso. Now, Mike Tomaso was a dear friend of mine. He actually owned Liberty Coins in Delaware. Unbelievable numismatist when it came to money and, you know, the study of ancient money. But anyway, Mike also worked for many years as a district representative for the John Birch Society. So for those of you who know what that is, Mike was pretty right-wing fella. And there was another guy in the church by the name of David Grace. And bless his heart, he went home to be with the Lord also. He suddenly, which was... and that's the way to go if you're going to go. But David was had voted Democrat his whole life, I think, but he certainly did as of recent. And he had a tendency to really lean that way a lot. Well, these two guys, we sat on a board together, all sat on a board together with other guys and people in my church. So these two guys, oddly enough, loved each other dearly and were great friends. And their opinions politically could have not been further apart. And it was kind of funny in that they would kind of try to get one you know, a jab in sometimes, where one of them would say, oh, did you see? And I finally had to tell them, look, guys, from now on, I said, we're not having any politics coming up in these meetings. These meetings are about what they're about, and that's where we're going to stay. We love each other. And it was kind of funny because they both kind of, okay. But it was interesting. What I'm getting at is exactly what you're talking about. Two people from different perspectives completely, that both could not only care about each other, but love God deeply. And we need to understand that that can happen. Just because somebody doesn't agree with you does not mean that they're the devil.
Well, it's a funny thing because you do get it in the media sometimes, and I'm trying to think of a time it happened recently, but I really can't. But, you know, Marion, Ohio, which is the county we cover, we go outside of the county. Matter of fact, driving to Lima, I found out just how far we go if you're going in that direction, which is great to hear. But if you have in Marion, Ohio, which is where I see most people, and I would imagine the majority of the listenership is just because of the size of the county. If you do an interview, I'm trying to think of somebody who would be considered very liberal. If you did an interview with somebody who was very liberal, a liberal politician, now they would be on you for it because this is more of a conservative town, always has been. City council's conservative. Before the current mayor, we had 18 years of, no, we had 20 years. Over 20 years of conservative mayors. We live in Jim Jordan's district. It's very conservative. Mm-hmm. So if you had I'll say Mary Ellen Withrow. I don't think she'd mind me saying that. Now, we will get criticism over that interview. But on November 19th, I had Roger Stone on.
Okay.
You could not be more close to the president than Roger Stone. That goes by without a cricket when you have Roger Stone on. Nobody says anything.
Yeah, I agree, but I think that I would encourage all of those people, all that we've just mentioned recently, but everyone. And when you come on the show, it's wonderful to have an opinion, but let's hold each other and our media is accountable and say stop the nastiness.
I think that's a big
stop the nasty comments. And we were, Scott and I were talking about this before the show came on today, about politically charged cartoons that are, say, grotesque or really over the top or speech. You know, I think that you know, when if you're on MSNBC and you get it across your desk, you need to condemn it if it's against our president or anyone. And I think that if you're on Sean Hannity's show, you need to do the same thing. If it's about Obama or Clinton or whatever, you say, you know what, we have in our opinions, we're very adamant about them, but the nastiness needs to stop.
Well, you know what? I came across an article this week that made me very sad, because I do think a lot about the media. And it starts out this way. For the first time in 17 years, MSNBC has now won the weekly ratings in cable news. First time that's happened in 17 years. And Rachel Maddow is now the most watched cable news talk show. That's fact as of this week. Now, that could change next week, but that's what happened. And I thought to myself, I know how MSNBC goes. I've watched MSNBC. There is a definite slant to MSNBC. But, you know, I know why they're doing it, because they're drawing the biggest crowd. That's right. Exactly why they're doing it. And it's no different than the conversation, which has nothing to do with politics, that we had a couple weeks ago. Why did Jerry Springer have fights on his show? Because it drew the biggest crowd.
And the thing is, and I understand that, but I'm just saying, as decent people and as Americans, we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. You know, I'll tell you something. There were Walter Cronkite, people followed him like a father.
Oh.
And I never heard anything foul out of that man about anybody. And it turns out, later on, we all find out that he was quite the left-leading.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, my conservative Republican parents listened to him every day and thought the world of him. Why? Because he held his position in a position of not only respect, but a position he felt that he had the duty to tell the news and not to put his opinion all over the place.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That is so right and so factual, but it's also fascinating. Walter Cronkite had the biggest crowd. One reason he was there for so long is he was the catalyst for CBS News that started to beat the Huntley-Brinkley Report, which predated him, which was the big news source at NBC. And until the day he left, CBS was the number one evening news. Had Walter Cronkite not been number one, they might have made a change somewhere along the line. But he was. And as you say, he didn't have a political slant. That used to be the case. It used to be the people who got the biggest crowds were the people who were the most in the middle. But now that's not the case.
Because
society changed.
We've separated ourselves so much into our own corners. It's like being in a boxing ring and to separate them in the corners, then they come back out and fight. You know, it's interesting. I was talking a few minutes ago about, you know, how you had these two men, one Democrat and one Republican. And, well, not necessarily Republican, just extremely right and extremely left. But how they got along so well. And I found this interesting that, you know, people may be listening to this show that are Christians, are very fundamental Bible-believing Christians. They may say, well, how can that pastor say that that person that was the Democrat, you know, can love God that much when, you know, it's the Democrat Party that, you know, is fighting for abortion and is fighting for all these things we don't believe in and behind all this stuff, and how can you do that? But here's the point that I'm trying to make, Scott and I have been kind of getting to this a little bit. The reason that David, my friend, supported the Democrat Party wasn't because they were the party of abortion. It was because they were the party of things that he did believe in. And the reason that Mike was the person behind on the other side of things, and you know, he struggled with you know, he didn't think he detested about the Republican Party and the Libertarians. He really had trouble coming down on where he was wanting to be, is because there were things that they supported that he was for. And people say, well, yeah, but this is so bad. But you got to understand, the other person looks at your party and says, yeah, but this is so bad. You know, the Republicans have been, I disagree with this, but they have been viewed as the party that's against the poor for so long. Because they have a different perspective. They believe in building up the person and eventually getting them to a place, rather than giving them things and it'll prolong, you know, the whole story. I don't want to get into that. But what I'm saying is, but being the party that has been viewed as the party against the poor and the hungry, you've got David over here, and he says, well, how can I vote for a Republican when Jesus told us to feed the poor? You see where I'm at? And that's as equally as bad a sin as on the other hand, because the Bible does not denote depth of sin. It's all sin. Wait. So it's wherever your personal feelings direct you is where you're going to go. personally, I think both parties are doing things that as a Christian right now I can't stand behind. So when I go to the polls, I got to say, what person has God have sitting here right now? Because Bible tells us that our rulers are there, you know, God put them there. What person is in this race that is going to move things in a direction as a Christian that I can move? And I don't agree with A, B, C, or D. You see what I mean?
Well, something has happened, and this is recent times. I'm talking the last 15 years. Because I'll give you an example. Now, we have a lot of people from Hollywood on, or a lot of people who are comedians, comedic actors, stand-up comedians. Now, 90% of them, we don't talk about politics. We talk about comedy and whatever's funny. Now, there are some people who have a history of political activism who do share their opinions. Now, interestingly enough, but there have been people through, Charlton Heston did that, Jane Fonda did that. It goes back a long way. Now, people like Bob Hope, they made fun of whoever the president was. But I don't think you could do that today. I think they would, because I'll tell you, the example to me, a guy we have on a lot is Shecky Green. Shecky Green is not a political comedian. He comes on and talks about, but he will make fun of the president. And as long as I've interviewed him, he'll drop one every so often. He dropped him about Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped him about Bill Clinton. But now, the second somebody does that, even if 90%, you know, it's a different world. It's a strange thing.
And I think part of that, I agree, Scott, I think that part of it is Jimmy Kimmel. People look at Jimmy Kimmel, and he is so extremely in his opinions about our president that go beyond jokes.
Absolutely.
That the minute that someone else, say they come on this show and they make, that people that are supporting the president, their minds immediately go to the Jimmy Kimmel. And there it goes again. So these people are being lumped in with those people. You see what I mean? They may be making just an innocent joke that they would make about Obama or anyone just as a comedian. But people are on the support of the president are so disgusted with that that they immediately, it's just kind of like you take a piece of steel and a magnet and you drop the ball and it just flies to it.
You know, Phyllis Diller, my favorite Phyllis Diller joke, and I've told this before, is it's a clean joke, because I thought it was cleverly written. It was a simple joke. It was her fictional husband, Fang. You know, she said, Fang is so stupid that the Jehovah's Witness asked him to join, and he said he couldn't because he didn't see the accident. Now, I don't know if she could do that today, because I think Jehovah's Witnesses would come on to her and say, oh my God, you can't do that. And I think that we're not laughing enough. We're not saying, you know, what I don't understand is if I disagree with something, and I disagree with a lot. I disagree with a lot on this own station. I told you I've never edited anything. But it doesn't, I don't need to abolish it. And I wouldn't want to abolish Phyllis Diller because I thought the joke was funny. And I don't think she's making fun of Jehovah's Witnesses. I just think she's making fun of the name. I think that's where that joke is. There's nothing in that joke besides the name Jehovah's Witness. The punchline is her fictional husband. But I don't know if you could do that joke today.
You know, a joke that I've heard was, I was actually in a service one time, and was serving communion, and it was a joint community service. And this fellow leans over to me, and he says, you know why all these Lutherans are being ashed? You know, the ash on Ash Wednesday. I said, why is that? He says, so we know when they've been through the wine line twice. And
it's a funny joke.
But you know what? I have told that to my Lutheran friends. I've told that to, and people just crack up. And why can't we be there? Everything is so, I'll be honest though, if you really think about it, we need to teach our young people today that want to be activists, that want to be involved, to have a little bit more tact, to have a little bit more respect, to have a little bit more understanding, because the groups that are going out and being loud are not being kind.
Well, and I said this before we went on the air, and I think it bears repeating. The thing we have made the most fun of, if you're going to pick one thing on this station that we have laughed continuously at since 2015, it's Hillary Clinton's hair. It's in theme songs on this station. It's been written into little bits that we've done.
I don't understand something, Scott. I've been around a long. What's the big deal about her hair? I've never really.
It came from it was an organic conversation on one of our current event shows, and I think it was the week she announced she was running for president back in 2015. And it was Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels, and Charlie, they both said, well, we like Hillary, and Charlie said, she's got to do something about her hair. Now, why that resonated with people, I don't know. But here came a theme song about 2 weeks later. You know, we discussed the president's and Hillary Clinton's hair. Hillary Clinton's hair has now become the big joke. But it's not personal. I mean, I don't care about Hillary's hair.
Remember Nixon's nose?
And, yes.
Tip O'Neill. Now, every cartoon had his nose bigger than his face.
Absolutely.
But those were jokes. And they were, you know, that's just the way it was depicted. But I think we can do that kind of stuff. I just think that we have such an anger that is being brewed. And in our classrooms, I've got to tell you, I've got a young man that is a graduated last year from high school, was in his first year this year in college. And he had a professor that was just taught everything from a point of anger, and you better agree with me, or you're not going to get a good grade. He got flunked. This is a straight A student. He got flunked on a paper because he dared disagree with the lady on the social subject she was talking about. And the problem is that a lot of our young people, they're getting this directly from the colleges they go to, and I think that these professors need to be held more accountable to teach and to leave the politics at home. They're their politics. You don't have to force them down a student's throat.
No, and I don't know why. Well, this, I guess, is the point I'm making. You can pick up a newspaper, you can turn on a radio station, you can turn on the television, you can get on the internet, and you're going to find something that you are not in agreement with.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. But does that change your mind? I don't think it does. But I think along the way, if you try, I've learned things. I know that. I've learned things from seeing things I don't agree with. But I don't know that it ever... Well, it has changed my mind. I'm flexible. You know, if I find something out to be different, I am somebody who can change my mind.
Yeah, I am too.
And
I've been humbled a few times, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I encourage people to be around me that will humble me and will correct me. The only reason I stay on a straight track is because I have those around me that will say, Steve, you know, look at, and they point me back to God's word many, many times, and this is where you're wrong on this or that. We got a few minutes left, and there's something, we are coming into the new year, and there's something that I would like to just give you a brief opinion on going into the new year, and it is this. Everyone makes resolutions. I'd rather they make decisions, and a lot of times it involves weight. Now, that's fine if that's what you want to do. Maybe I'm going to do that. I don't want to talk about weight today. There's two things that I think people truly need to look at and get back to. One, of course, is the Word of God and going to church. Get your families in church. You'll see a difference. You truly will. Just in association, just in learning that we have a something to hold on to, a hope, a truth in Christ, that's so important to me. To get your family into church. The second thing is, get out of debt. Yeah. We used to be a country that the people were financially responsible. And the government, people, I don't know if they use the excuse because the government is so financially irresponsible. Folks, it doesn't matter what they do. I'm watching less television news today than I've ever watched in my life. If I do anything, I read the little thing down at the bottom that scrolls across, because if I listen to their voices, I get angry.
But, I don't get angry. I just get totally
disgusted.
Disgusted, disenchanted, whatever word you want to
use. Marge stopped in on us.
Hey,
good morning, Marge.
Oh, yes, hey, but, you know, I love this program, folks. Oh. You should tune into it. It's very worthwhile.
But what I was getting back to the financial side of this is that, you know, say, oh, what? How am I going to start a little bit at a time? Pay off one thing at a time.
Right.
If you got to take a little extra job, folks, I want to tell you there is so much freedom in being financially free. Mm-hmm. People say, well, how do I buy anything? Folks, you can buy anything you want when you don't have anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, get back to that basis of, well, I don't have enough money to buy it. Okay, I won't buy it.
Right.
That's how my parents operated.
That's exactly
the
way.
And the stress that it relieves in a family and the marriages it'll save will be astronomical. Mm-hmm. So those are the two things I wanted to share.
Well, I hope, because we have 3 minutes left here, I just hope that people have hope. You know, there was a, I forget who said it, I should know, but there was a quote, hope dies last. Hope dies last. And I don't know if that's the case anymore. You know, if you have been itching to do something, if you really want to do something, but you think, oh, that's just totally out of the box, you could never do it, there's no way to do it, as long as you're breathing, there is. You can. Don't give up. Do it. Try it. See
what
happens.
There's a counter to what you just said. If hope dies first, you don't last.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Because you've got, there's got to be a reason to get out of bed. There has to be a reason to go forward. And I just, I see people doing jobs sometimes, and it's fine if you like what you're doing. But I see people say, but I wish I would have done this. And I think, you're not done.
Mm-hmm.
Try it. You know, see what you can do. You can find so many connections today on the internet to read up, do research. What would it take to do this? And not even about your job. If you want to spend next Christmas in Florida and you can't, coming back to the debt thing, figure out a way to do it this year. It's you got 11 months to figure it out now.
I know a lady that was on assistance years ago, and she would get a credit card that would cover a trip to Florida, and she would take a trip to Florida every year at Christmas and relax, and then she would spend the rest of the year paying that off, and at the end of the year she'd get another one.
There you go.
But you know what? She paid it off.
And she found a way.
Right. And she found a way.
She found a way. Find those ways. Don't wait until the last moment. You know something, at Christmas I used to work in a bank, but this, you wouldn't have to work in a bank to know this. What happened to the Christmas clubs?
I know. I have one.
I mean, let's talk about that next time, because people probably don't know what they are.
They should. With the time, we were 20 seconds left. I know that we wish them a happy new year.
Absolutely. Pastor. Happy new year to you. And come see us at Community Christian Fellowship.
Absolutely. Be safe. Also, this show will replay on what show are we going to replay, Pastor, Tuesday?
Tuesday?
Yeah.
We're going to replay the one, probably the one in California with my sister.
Perfect. That'll replay Tuesday. So stay tuned on New Year's Day. 5:10 to 6 p.m. We'll be back with this show next Friday. Stay tuned. More programming coming up.
The voices you want to hear from Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.